in the precious name of Jesus, who is the one informing us of the power of the Spirit this night. In the precious name of Jesus, our Savior, amen. I invite you to take your Bibles if you brought them this evening, and if not, please take one of the pew Bibles so that we can look at John chapter 14. If you're a visitor with us this evening and don't have a Bible at home, we encourage you to take one of the pew Bibles as our gift to you so that you can read and study God's Word. The theme for our worship this evening, you see on the screen, love, trust, and obey. These three words are words that are woven through all of chapter 14. As you look at our text for this evening, beginning with about verse 19, you'll see from there through the end of the chapter that the word love is used 9 times. Count throughout, if you will. Make sure I'm right, but I think 9 times. Jesus talks in this chapter about love. Most of the time, we think of 1 Corinthians 13 as the love chapter of the Bible, and it surely is, but I wonder if John 14 couldn't be thought of as the love chapter. The love of the Father for the Son. The love of the Son for the Father. The love of the Father and the Son for you and me. And our love for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This really is a love chapter. Also, this chapter speaks about trust. If you have your Bibles open, look at verses 1 and 2. Jesus says in our text, trust. Trust in God, trust also in me. We trust in the love of the Father. We trust in the love and the sacrifice of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. We know how much he loves us, and in that way we trust him for forgiveness, mercy, grace, and eternal life. Love, trust, and obey. Also in our text, Jesus speaks about obedience. He says, if you love me, you will obey my teaching. One of the best ways to show that we truly love is by being obedient. Children, if you do what your parents tell you, that's one of the ways you can demonstrate for them your love, your trust, and your obedience all wrapped together. Jesus was speaking these words to his disciples, and he speaks these words to us in our text for this evening. This business of love ties so well together with what Pastor Tate preached for us last weekend. If you were here over the Mother's Day weekend, Pastor Tate was preaching and he reminded us of the love of a mother, how a mother's love is to reflect the love of our Heavenly Father. He reminded us last week that God's love is a protecting kind of love. Remember where Jesus says, I have you in the palm of my hand and nothing can snatch you out of my hand. We've memorized, as a part of the Apostles' Creed and our understanding of it, in the first article, that our Heavenly Father defends us from all danger. He guards and protects us from all evil. And all this he does purely out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in us. I didn't do anything, you didn't do anything to deserve God's love or his protecting care. But because he loves you, he does protect you. We were reminded last weekend, too, that God's love is an enduring love, a love that lasts a lifetime, a love that lasts not just a lifetime here, but in eternity. Jesus loved you so much that he gave his life for you, so that you could live for him now and live with him through all eternity, enduring forever. God's love is a sacrificial love, a love so great that he sent Jesus to take your place and mine, to die on the cross, to take your sins and mine on himself, to give himself as the perfect once and for all time sacrifice, placing us once again in a loving relationship with our Father. In our text, Jesus was speaking with his disciples. And as he was speaking, he was teaching them. He said, there's the time coming when I'll no longer be with you. And I don't want you to think that you're orphans, that you're cast off, that you're on your own. No, I want you to remember what I've told you. And what Jesus says is, obey my teaching. Well, what was he teaching? Probably best, easiest for us to understand, is that he was teaching us the commandments of the Father. As I have obeyed the Father, so you also obey my teaching. And woven through our text, through John chapter 14, is the reminder that when we obey Jesus, we obey the Father, because the Father and I are one, Jesus says over and over again. Our love for Jesus is our demonstration of our love for our Heavenly Father. And what obedient children do, what loving children do, is to listen to the voice of their parents and do what their parents ask them to do. Maybe a way, an illustration, would be to share with you a story I heard about a missionary family. One of the families from the United States had gone overseas. They were out in a primitive area, and that's where they lived. One particular day, the missionary father just happened to be going by the kitchen window, which was open, and saw his child, his daughter, in a large tree not far from the window. He also saw something else in the tree. And he called out to his daughter. He said to her very sternly, very abruptly, "Listen to what I say and do it immediately. Drop to the ground and run to me as fast as you can." Without hesitation, without wonder or question or doubt, that's exactly what the daughter did. She quickly dropped to the ground and ran to him as fast as she could. In the meantime, he went out that nearby door and waited with his arms to scoop her into his arms. And only then did she turn around and look to the tree from which she had just dropped. And there was a huge snake just within striking distance. Had she not obeyed immediately, she could have been struck by the snake and then crushed to death by its powerful muscles. She listened, and when she listened, she trusted the voice of her father. And without doubt, without hesitation, without wonder or worry or saying no, immediately she did what he asked her to do, and because she did, her life was saved. In our text, Jesus calls us to love, to trust, and to obey. To recognize that the Father sees everything perfectly. He knows our need greater than we know our own need. And he calls us to listen and obey. And when we do, our lives are saved. He calls us into relationship with himself because of what he's done for us. But you know, we can't do that on our own. Even if we wanted to, we'd forget what it was that Jesus said. And that's why Jesus promised in the lesson for tonight, in verse 16 and verse 26, Jesus said, "When I go, I will pray. And I will pray that the Counselor, the Comforter, the Advocate will come." That's the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes to you, he will bring you to faith. And not only will he bring you to faith, he will keep you in faith. You see, none of us, like we said earlier, none of us can do it ourselves. It's purely out of divine, fatherly love and mercy that he calls us. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit to bring us to saving faith, just like he did Jude this evening. We believe that we are, did you remember it from the baptismal service? Separated from God. But in baptism, God scoops us up. He washes us clean. And by the power of the Spirit working in Jude's life, we believe that simple saving faith is started now. And as a part of the baptismal service, we invite and encourage parents and sponsors and loved ones to put in his hands the Bible, to teach the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments and the Apostles' Creed, so that that faith will grow and bring him to everlasting life. That's what God does for us. He brings us to faith. But Jesus reminds us in our text, the Holy Spirit will remind you of those things. The Holy Spirit keeps working and keeps working and keeps inviting. He calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies all of us into the one Christian faith. And he keeps us in that one Christian faith. That's the work and the job of the Holy Spirit. Let's use this as an example. Imagine, if you will, this great reservoir of water. I often use this kind of an example when I'm teaching confirmation about the work of the Holy Spirit. Imagine that this reservoir is something like Cheney Reservoir. I know this is much bigger and much more dramatic looking, but imagine Cheney filled with water. That's a wonderful blessing. And here is our house. Well, it's great to know that the water, that reservoir, is there for us, but our house is a long way away from that reservoir. How is it that we can enjoy the benefits? How do we get the water from those places where it's reserved for us to us? Well, there has to be some kind of a system, some sort of a pipe that brings that water into our homes, our kitchens, our sinks, our bathtubs and showers, and all the rest. That conduit brings us the life-saving, the refreshing water. Think of it this way. What Jesus did for you and me on the cross is a reservoir of his grace. What Jesus did on the cross was to die for our forgiveness. And in his death, we have forgiveness and life and mercy and grace and love and so much more. That was then. And here we are today, our homes, our lives. So how does what Jesus did for us on the cross come to us? It comes by the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to bring the blessings Jesus earned for us to us. And he does so in the blessed words of Scripture. As Jesus comes to us, he comes by the power of the Spirit through his word. He comes to us tonight, too, in the bread and wine. In, with, and under the bread and the wine, Jesus gives himself, and it's the Spirit's work to work that within us. I mentioned it earlier, Jude's baptism and our baptism, a way that he comes to us, and the Spirit brings that forgiveness and mercy and grace and all these blessings Jesus earned for us on the cross to us through the Holy Absolution. Tonight, as we began the service, Pastor had us all kneel or be seated, and we confessed our sins. And then, just as if Jesus himself were standing here, Pastor announced the forgiveness of sins to all of us. That's the work of the Spirit, through his word and sacraments, to bring everything Jesus did for you to you, so that we might live refreshed, that we might know his love, that we trust what he's done for us, and therefore, by the calling of the Spirit, that we would be obedient to his word. In our text for tonight, Jesus said to those first disciples, and he says to us, "Peace I give you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you, but my peace." So many in the world today cry, "Peace, peace," but there is no peace. Those are the signs of the end of time. But Jesus says, "My peace I give to you. The peace that passes all understanding, that keeps your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And in Christ, there is peace. There's peace between God and man." Remember when Jesus was born? Good news, peace to all men. There's peace with God and man because of the work of Christ. and in our text. Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid, because my peace is with you. The Spirit will bring you to faith. He'll keep you in the faith. He'll remind you of my teachings so that you can obey and follow and trust and live for me. Jesus knew when he was speaking to his disciples that the ascension was coming. We just celebrated that 10 days ago. 40 days after his resurrection is the ascension. And today, 10 days later, Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit. Jesus reminds us, I do not leave you as orphans, but my Spirit comes among you through word and sacrament, so that he can bring you to faith and keep you in faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ, on this Pentecost, we celebrate God's love for us in Christ Jesus. On this Pentecost, we love, we trust, and obey by the Spirit, by God's Spirit, by the Holy Spirit at work in and through and among us. God bless you as you hear his voice and know his coming to you, and as you live for and serve him. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, just as he said in John chapter 14. For Jesus' sake, amen.